Good morning. I guess I'm on. Yeah. So good to be back here. Some of you don't know what that means because you don't know that I've ever been here before. But if we didn't get to do greetings, so I have been here before. My name is Kenyon Breedlove, and I'm excited to be here. To be honest, I was kind of nervous. I've never done this because I always made this claim that I was the guest speaker and not a preacher and all this, and I keep showing up doing this, and I got ordained to perform a wedding over the summer, and so I guess that technically puts me in that category, so I can't make that joke anymore. But I am very excited to be here, and I was reminded of the presence of the Holy Spirit the moment I came in, and just it's always filled this place. Every time I've been in here, when I was here every week, I always felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that definitely gives you a joy and a peace over you, and so I'm very thankful for that. Talk about a couple facts here. Do you guys know it's deer season? I don't know if anybody take part in that. Second fact, I like to deer hunt. Here I stand. Third one, nobody offered me any money to come here. Why do I point these facts out to you? Because the last fact is, I believe in the Great Commission, and I believe the power the life of Jesus has, and it's our duty to share that with as many people as we can. And if that means I miss out on a morning deer hunt, then so be it. And I'm more than happy to be here. I'm very thankful that I am here. Lots been going on since the last time I was here. I left due to a job change, which has brought a lot of good, not even just specifically the job, just the opportunities, the move has brought to my life, has changed a lot of things, and the job's been one of them. I am enjoying that. We bought a house. I have a baby on the way. Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. And as most of you in here know, those two put together means I have no money. So, not that that's really a change, but I just thought I'd remind you of that fact. So, nonetheless, it's been a blessing. I've gotten to start a Bible study with a group of friends of mine, and I'll get in on that a little bit more here in just a minute. But there's been a lot of good things coming of that, and it's had nothing to do with me. It's just the opportunities that God has blessed me with, and I'm excited to be here. We'll be in Hebrews chapter 11, if you want to turn there. Sorry, I could have told you that sooner before I started rambling. We'll read from there. Actually, the Bible study that got started after my move, we've been studying Hebrews almost the whole time it's been going on. We really dive into it. The people in our Bible study are pretty new to their faith, and Hebrews is a fantastic book of the New Testament to give you some of that Old Testament knowledge and background and history, and you can learn while every single verse points you to Jesus, and it's just that constant reminder. And so I've really enjoyed our study, our slow crawl through the book of Hebrews, but we'll be in chapter 11. I'll read. I didn't send anybody what I was doing because I have no idea how much I'm going to read, but we'll just start in verse 1. When I feel the need to stop, we'll stop. I think I have an idea. But we'll keep going. So, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Really, I could stop there and talk forever, but we'll keep going. For by it the men of old gained approval. Verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeying by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob and fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even one man, and him as good as dead, at that as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, personally and selfishly, I'm so thankful to be here and get to share your story and your life and your will with so many people that I care about and a community that I care about. Ultimately, Lord, I pray that your words are spoken and your will is done. I pray it's not of me, but it's of you, and you just use me as a vessel to do that. Lord, we're so thankful for all the many blessings you've given us, and I pray that you forgive us where we failed you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, if you saw faith turned into action or faith through actions here, we see a lot of people that demonstrate that in this chapter. And we could keep reading, and we see even more examples of that. But I kind of want to talk a little bit personally about faith and about that Bible group that we've started. While a lot of good has happened in my life since being here, I mean, my faith has definitely been tested. I can't lie to you. Shortly before I left, I had a little brother who moved out of my parents' house and not in a good situation. I'm 18 and I want to do my own thing. Moved out with a lot of bad blood and a lot of hate in his heart, and it's left a mark on all of us. And I had so many questions when that was taking place, and I still have so many questions. And he's somebody that I miss dearly, and he's somebody that I hope one day I can rekindle a relationship with and do all that. My grandmother is battling complications of cancer and cancer treatment after a clean bill of health, after being in a situation that we thought, you know, greener pastures were ahead. But I'll talk about her some more, but let me tell you, her faith has never wavered. Though we've been blessed with a baby on the way, it was a long road. It was a lot of unknown. There was a lot of questions. There was a lot of why to get there. And I know that some of you in this room have experienced those situations as well. The move itself, a lot of questions, a lot of unknown. Right? I really enjoyed the job I had prior to that. It was fruitful. I love the people I work with. Doug's not here for me to give him a big hug, but I miss Doug. I got to work with Doug every day. That was a lot of fun. I wish all of you could get to work with Doug every day. It's a good time. But there was a reason for it, and I am convinced that the whole reason that opportunity came had nothing to do with the job itself. I'm just convinced of that. And there's a couple reasons for that. One is this Bible study group we've started. And like I said, it's some friends of Nicole and I. Two of them, I was blessed with the opportunity to be the officiant of their wedding over the summer, and just I don't know, kind of been Nicole and I have kind of been a spiritual guidance for them, and that's amazing and a blessing, and we got to, you know, be a part of that special day, and that was fantastic. And we get going, and I just tell Nicole, it was like 5 in the morning, we just gotten up, and I said, hey, we're going to start a Bible study with Allison, Jackson, Morgan, and Tyler. We're going to, like, next week, we're going to start a Bible study. And she's like, oh, okay, cool. Have you told them that we're going to do this Bible study? I'll tell them today, you know. So we've done that, and it's been really good. It's been really good for me. Somebody who's probably like looked as the leader of this Bible study. It's been such a blessing. I've learned so much. I've gotten to be a part of their life in ways that I never thought I would be able to. They've been support systems for Nicole and I. We've been able to support them. Morgan and Tyler, in a less funny manner. During this process, Morgan and Tyler lost a baby during pregnancy. And that was hard on all of us. I mean, like I said, as some of you have experienced, that's never an easy thing. Never. And to just be blunt about it, to somebody who doesn't have a firm foundation, it's just a little bit tougher. And, you know, I spent a lot of time asking why. So I can't imagine how Morgan and Tyler felt. Now, on a brighter note, since then, Morgan was baptized just a few weeks ago. So praise God for that. And she will tell you, and this is where I'm headed, that having a firm foundation in her faith brings you a joy in your life that you cannot explain. And it leads to actions that you maybe can't explain either. And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at this faith that these people expressed and some characteristics of this faith. And I've kind of pointed out a few characteristics that I think goes right along with faith and what it may produce. And we'll look at that, but there's some guiding questions that I kind of want you to have. If you're a note taker, maybe you can write these questions down. If not, put them in your mind. Question one, do you have faith? You know, that's a great question to start with, I think, if we're going to talk about faith. Do you have it? Right? I don't know about this church, but I've been to many churches in my life, and there are a lot of people that sit in the pew and they don't have faith. What the heck is faith? How does faith produce actions if I don't know what it is? How do I have it if I don't know what it is? What does your faith look like? Is your faith supposed to look a certain way? I don't know the answer to that, but I think faith kind of looks like my fashion sense. It's there, but it's kind of unorganized. You know, that's kind of the way I view it. It's there. I mean, I get dressed every day, you know, so I do have it. But it's a little ungroomed and it doesn't match. And I think that's okay. Your faith, a little disclaimer here at the end of this, your faith is not boxes that you check and say, I've done it. That's not what I'm getting at. I know the word action is in this title here, but I don't want to confuse anybody in what I think. Your faith is not boxes that you check. And we'll get into that. But like I said, I don't know if it's supposed to look a certain way, but I do know this. It has to be a little bit more than just believing in somebody's existence, right? I mean, the fact that Jesus existed is rarely even an argued point these days. There are people who will, but there's a lot of people in the academic world who may not believe in the Savior of Jesus, but they believe he existed. I think it might even be deeper than acknowledging the deity of Christ. I think your faith can go a little bit different, a little deeper than that. You may believe Jesus existed. You may believe that he was the Son of God. But do you have faith in that? There's two different things. James tells me that it isn't really that impressive to believe in God because he says, so do the demons. So if you're going to say that you have faith in God and live the same old life, what's the point? I'm not sure that that faith really exists. As a coach, I have a similar conversation with a lot of people. Now, I have, and this is the blessing part of my job, I'm able to relate it to faith. And nobody fires me, at least not yet. That day may come. But I talk to athletes all the time, or even students in the classroom. I want to be better. I want to succeed. I want to have a good grade. I want playing time. I want all that. What does that want even mean? A lot of them think it just means they say, I want it. And sadly, a lot of Christians think the same thing about their faith. I have faith. And that's it. Nothing changes. Well, an athlete tells me, I want to be good, or a hitter. I want to hit over 300, bat third in the lineup. Sorry if you don't know sports, that's just what I'm closest to. But yet, all they ever do is the bare minimum. All they ever do is what the practice plan says. If that, if I'm watching them. Do they really want to be the best hitter on the team? Do they really want to be our number one contributor? The evidence tells me no. No, it doesn't. It means the exact opposite. It means you want somebody to do it for you, right? And that's just not faith, right? And so when we get into this, I think faith has some characteristics that are based around action. And it's not the action gets you to the faith, okay? Your faith is so firm that those actions just pour out of you. I want that to be certain that there's nothing you can do. As I already said, there's no box you can check that gets you to this faith. Okay? There is faith. There is a security that you have in Christ where the actions will just start flowing out of you. If that hitter wants to be the best on our team, things will take place without me having to say a word. They will do the extra work. The actions will just come out of them. The first characteristic that I kind of want to point out here is right off the bat in verse 1, assurance. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I really want to focus on that assurance word. I'm not going to try to pronounce the Greek word because that would be embarrassing. But the kind of base or direct definition of that is substance. So we could re-say that. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Even that word conviction in a lot of translations means evidence. The evidence of things not seen. What are you talking about, man? Let me go even farther. In the New Testament, this Greek word, which I'm not going to try to pronounce, is used to convey the idea of a foundational reality or essence. It can refer to the underlying substance or the actual being of something, as opposed to a mere appearance. In a more abstract sense, it is used to indicate confidence or assurance, particularly in the context of faith. I have a confidence in the things not seen. Things that are hoped for. I have never once seen Jesus. But I know Jesus exists. I have assurance Jesus exists. Now, I'm going to share a story from a podcast I listened to, so I'm going to age myself real quick because I don't know that everybody here listens to them. And the character in this podcast is probably not somebody you expected to be talked about from the pulpit. But I'm just saying he explained it pretty well, and we're not here to judge other people's relationship with Jesus. It was on the Joe Rogan podcast. Person number one that you didn't expect to hear from the pulpit. Person number two, the guy he's interviewing, is Kid Rock. Okay, this is a great story. And when we were studying this in our Bible study, one of the other guys in that group, he brought this up, and I thought, man, that is a fantastic representation of what we're trying to talk about. And in that, Joe Rogan asked Kid Rock, he says, if you could go back any time in history, where would you go? Kid Rock, I must point out, puts down his beer to say Jesus. And Joe Rogan says, what if nobody's there? And he's like, better yet, dude, I get him all to myself. Which is not what Joe Rogan meant. Joe Rogan goes, well, what if he's not there? And he goes, oh, he's there. Without hesitation. Oh, he's there. Now, I'm not here to judge Kid Rock and his lifestyle. Somebody else can do that. But he seems to have a little bit of a grasp on that faith, because when Joe Rogan says, how do you know that? He says, faith. Point blank. There was no rebuttal by Joe Rogan either. It's hard to argue. He understood there's a little bit, there's a substance there. It's not just a word. There's a substance to what he's saying. There's just no doubt in that. My faith leaves no doubt, not just in the existence of Christ, but as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, of the first importance that Christ lived, died, and rose again for the sake of my sins. I have zero doubt in that. And that's what our assurance of our faith should bring. And if we have that assurance, we should have some trust. It tells us that faith is the foundation or underlying assurance of our walk with Christ. Now, on the idea of foundation, I want to read from Isaiah real quick, 28:16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. Christ is your cornerstone, and your faith in him cannot be disturbed by anybody else. It is your faith. But, like I said, next, trust. Trust would be the second character trait, I guess, comes from faith. Hebrews 11:6, if you're still there with us in chapter 11. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. We must believe he is. He is what? He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is our Savior. But that belief comes with trusting that as truth. Those of you that have been in education, the capital T truth. Okay? Not what you think might be. You know it is truth. If you truly do, then your actions will follow suit. If you truly believe that he is your Savior, there will be some type of fruitful action with that. And I think of, when I was talking about this, I was writing this down, I was trying to think of a story, a personal story talking about, and it didn't happen until yesterday morning, thanks to deer season. My brother brought with him over the weekend my nephew, who's not near old enough to be going by himself. And in fact, he's young enough that about 6:45 his interest was out. Okay? Some of you are still in bed at 6:45. But he puts him in a stand. Like, they're not in a blind or in a box. He's like, we're going to my stand in the morning. I'm like, you're going to, like, you know, he's like this tall, right? He's like, yeah. And they get there, and my nephew, Tate, is his name. I think he has a little bit of the same feeling when he gets there to this stand. He's like, I'm not going up there. And but here's what he has. He has an unwavering trust in his dad. And he acted that out by just grabbing a hold of that ladder and getting going. Because his dad told him, I'm right behind you. Nothing bad's going to happen. And that he had an assurance in. He had a trust in his dad in that moment that he could go one ladder at a time and there his dad would be. Like I said, my faith is messy, a lot like my appearance. You just go one ladder at a time. Things are going to happen. You might even fall down one step. You may fall down two. You need to trust that Jesus is there. Have faith that he's going to pick you up. And why? Because he's done it time and time again. He's proven that. Another trust. I think about my good friend Luke. He's a pastor in Lebanon. Been a lifelong friend. I always explain him as the hold the rope guy. And I've maybe even told that story here. If you're on the edge of the cliff, Who do you trust to not let go of that rope? And he's that guy for me, and I share that story all the time. But in a metaphorical sense or even a literal sense, Jesus will hold the rope, and he's not letting go. He's already proven it. He put his life on the cross. He gave it for you. And no matter what, that love is still there for you. We even see this in Hebrews. If you keep reading on to verse 17, and I know I didn't get there, but it talks about Abraham, right, and his faith when he was asked to offer up Isaac. Right, we read there through where Abraham was called to go into a foreign land, and when Abraham and Sarah were told they were going to bear a son and basically populate the earth, and they were like, you know how old we are? This is past that. Abraham's had a son, and he was asked to offer up Isaac. Isaac was who God said all his descendants would come from. And now you're asking me to sacrifice him. But he had a trust in God because God had never failed him. Or like I said, you go back to Sarah beyond childbearing years. She even laughs at God about this situation. When God tells her she's going to be the mother of nations, I would say that took a very real amount of trust. Now, if you read the story, she kind of stumbled around in that trust a little bit, but that's not the point. The point is that she had to have that trust in them. Back to my grandmother, I talked about her and this cancer and things like that. And who, by the way, has had a great week. She had it one time. She went through the chemo and all the things. And some of you that are familiar with that, sometimes you have to take those chemo pills when you come back home. So not only do they get you while you're there, they give you some of that stuff while you're at home. And they can make you awfully sick, just awfully sick. And for whatever reason, she, I guess, was more worried about being sick than the cancer itself. And in her words, hey, I'm not passing judgment. In her words, it wasn't worth taking those pills because of that. And the chemo did its job, even without it. It did its job. Until about a half a year later when it was back. And in conversations with her, she told me, you know, the second time they gave her those same pills again. And she had the same nerves about just how awful sick, because, I don't know, 8 years ago or so, my grandpa went through a very similar situation. He was just awfully sick taking that stuff. But she said she felt like God was asking her to trust him. And she took every pill, and she was, as far as somebody in the middle of chemo treatment can go, she was one of the healthiest people I'd seen. Never sick. She went through it, and that cancer disappeared again. Now, she's struggling with some side effects of cancer treatment, but that cancer is not there. And she has been a fantastic example of what somebody who has assurance in their faith means and somebody who has trust in Christ looks like. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better example. She's a rock. Next characteristic, perseverance or endurance, whichever word you want to use. They're kind of used interchangeably in the New Testament. Chapter 1 of James says, the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. As most of you know, being a Christian is not always an easy task. Just because you believe in Jesus does not mean bad things will never happen to you. In fact, if you read the New Testament, it might even mean the exact opposite. Because who better to show the power of Jesus than a faith-believing Christian? What better example can there be? Jesus himself was on earth, and people didn't believe. Your testimony is very powerful. We can look at Noah there in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And I really want to focus on that not yet seen. If you go back, this is Genesis chapter 6. If you go back, God expresses his frustration with the earth, with creation, with mankind. And he tells Noah what he's going to do, and he tells him he needs to build an ark and out of gopher wood and so many cubits big and long and tall. And he tells him that he's going to destroy the earth with a flood. Noah had never seen anything like that. Why did he do it? He'd never seen a flood like that. He'd never seen destruction like that. And Noah was old. 600 years old, to be exact. But he had to have faith in that. And just imagine what the people around Noah were saying. Now, that details aren't in the story. But if I start building a boat like you've never seen before, and I say, well, it's going to flood, I would kind of look at you a little weird. I just know that's how people looked at Noah. I know that his faith had to be tested in that moment. I know he had to persevere through the ridicule and the judgment of those around him. Because as it says early in that chapter of Genesis, the world was full of sin and immorality. And that's why Noah was chosen to do that. He had to persevere and he had to endure through that. Where does that even come from, though? If you can't see what God is saying he's going to do, he has faith that God's going to do it, though. But I think it comes from what I would label my next characteristic is hope. It comes through hope of what God says he's going to do. Now, I had a football coach. In fact, he used to coach in this town, John Franks. Some of you may know who he is. He was not a fan of the word hope, and not in a spiritual sense. But he just hated when people said, well, I hope I can do this, you know. I love the word. I think it's a great word. Because I look at it through a spiritual lens. And I try not to look at it from the worldly point of view. I think hope puts us in the right direction. Romans 8 tells us this: for in this hope we are saved. Hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? If we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Noah had no idea what that flood was going to look like. He didn't know when it was going to be exactly. He just knew that God said it was coming and he had a job to do. And because of his hope, because of his perseverance, because of his trust, because of his assurance in God and what God said he was going to do, he produced action. And we are too. Our faith is supposed to produce action, which gets me to my last characteristic here, obedience. To be obedient to God. It's not easy to be obedient to God sometimes. There's a lot of unknown. There are a lot of things that happen in this world that we don't know the answer to. I think that's by design, honestly. But it makes it really hard, just to be frank. It makes it really hard. Obedience isn't easy. But it's required of us. James tells us, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. And I believe that with all my heart. And like I said, it's not boxes that we're checking. But if you're claiming a faith, and your actions of your lifestyle do not match it, guilty at times, you need a reflection. You really do. I lived a point in my life, too many years, ashamedly, where I claimed a faith that didn't exist. I just claimed it. I thought I could be half in, half out. That's not the way it works. I'll never be the person that tells you that your actions or works, as many translations would read, is what will get you into heaven. That's not what I'm here to say. Your faith and commitment to Christ does that. I'm just here to say that if you're confessing your faith in Jesus, your actions will prove whether or not that is true. Jesus tells us in the gospel that you will know them by their fruits. And I believe that to be true. You'll have struggles. Like I said, you'll look up that ladder, as my 4-year-old nephew did, and you'll think, no, I have no chance. You'll start your climb, and you'll have some struggle. It just is what it is. But there will be no secret where you stand. People will see you, and they will see your faith. You don't even have to say it. People will notice a difference in you. People will notice your action, and they know that that comes from somewhere. It comes from your faith in Christ. All of the people discussed in this chapter, and if you keep reading, there's a whole list of people throughout chapter 11. I encourage you to read it. Every one of them, their faith produced an action. And as I brought up before, you may very well believe Jesus exists. You may even believe they hung him on a cross. You may believe all that he said. But have you put your faith in that? I've brought this up many times, especially when I was with the youth, and I think I've even brought it up speaking to you all before. But it's a verse that just is ingrained in me. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. There will be people on this earth who recognize Christ. There will be people who recognize our Lord, and they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's not meant to be doom and gloom. That's just meant to be black and white. That is what it is, and that is fact. James tells us, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The Bible tells us many things. There's a couple I want to hint on, and I'll wrap up. Maybe here a while. If you're wondering if we want to go back to our first questions, how do I know I have faith? There is steps to start. The Bible tells us to believe and confess in Christ. Romans 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in faith. That's your first action to put your faith to work. Believing is more than just an existing that somebody is there. That, again, a Greek word that I can't pronounce, means to entrust, right? In English, we use believe as a recognition of existence. It's so much deeper than that. It's so much deeper than that. I don't know another way to explain it. But you have to entrust your life to Christ. And I strongly encourage you to do that if you have not. And we're encouraged to follow through in baptism. Peter tells them in Acts 2, repent and be baptized, each of you, for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus says in Mark, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Your faith produces action. The greatest commandment there is, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. All of these are products of our faith. And lastly, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, go and make disciples, baptizing them in my name. As somebody who tried to do it half in, half out, I'm here to tell you it doesn't work. That process just doesn't work. You have to be all in. You have to be willing to put your faith and your trust in Jesus. There has to be action steps that come from your faith. I do want to read one more verse here about that as soon as I find it. And I pray that sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of everything good, every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Practicing your faith and putting it out there will only increase your knowledge of Christ. And it's got to start with your individual story. It's got to start with your individual faith. And I pray that you do that. I'm going to pray. Stephanie's going to come up here. And we'll have invitation after that. But as I pray real quick, I want you just to reflect on where you're at. I want you to reflect on your own faith. Do you have it? What is it in? And I don't want to be confused. Your faith cannot be even in your actions. Your faith is in Christ, which will produce actions through Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. And as I said before, I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I pray that even just one person, Lord, that is just on the edge, that they commit their life to you. I pray that they do not leave this building today without joining your church, without joining your eternal kingdom. Lord, if somebody here is trying to live that life and they just need that extra step, Lord, that personal involvement in the resurrection, I pray that they take the steps into baptism. We're so thankful for your many blessings. And we pray for them to continue. And Lord, as I said before, where we failed you, I beg that you please forgive us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.